This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Second down and 14 now. Wilson is chased, throws it up for grabs. He's got Metcalf. Touchdown, Seattle. Well, if Metcalf was upset with Russell Wilson moments ago, he better thank him for making this play.
It's You Better You Bet with Nick Costos and Ken Barkley on the BetQL Audio Network.
Want to tell everyone, BetQLRadio.com, they've partnered up for the best sporting content coverage around. You can go to BetQL.com, enter code COSTOS at checkout for 15% off any subscription. BetQL helps sports bettors of all types, from the first-time bettors to hardcore, make more informed betting decisions using data and analytics. BetQL's algorithms analyze over 350,000 unique bet types every single year in real time to help give you an edge over the sportsbook. Get started today at BetQL.com, also available on the Apple App Store and Google Play. Mark Melusis in for Nick Costos, Ken Barkley, of course. This is You Better You Bet. And, you know, Kenny, we heard Joe Buck and the highlight of Russell Wilson bringing us out of break. And I can't make hay of what's going on with Russell Wilson up in Seattle. I mean, so he's bothered by the fact that the offense isn't going to go through him. And here's one phrase I can't stand anymore, because you hear it all across, whether it be the NBA or the National Football League, but more so the NFL. Can we stop saying said player, let them cook? Because it's just so overplayed. Let Russ cook. Let this guy cook. This guy's cooking. I mean, everyone is basically cooking across the National Football League. The stats are so gaudy. Can we stop with it? I mean, so because I'm listening to Ian Rappaport the other day on the NFL Network that Russ is bothered because Russ wants to cook up in Seattle. I mean, enough's enough here. I mean, it really is.
Really?
Okay. I mean, if you're Russell Wilson, you're 32. You just got paid a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. Your team is a perennial playoff team. You play for one of the great player-friendly coaches in the National Football League in Pete Carroll. By the way, the oldest coach in the NFL in Pete Carroll. You've got an organization in John Schneider that is super aggressive. Anytime, whether it be Jadeveon Clowney, whether it be Carlos Dunlap, whether it be Jamal Adams, they're always going out there trying to add more talent to the team. And if you're Russell Wilson, you're bothered right now. You're bothered by the fact that the Seahawks in 2018 – went to Josh Allen's pro day. You're bothered by the very fact that, you know what, that Pete Carroll after the season said we got to get back to running the football. I mean, what are we doing here if you're Russell Wilson? Enough's enough. Why are you going? You want more of a say? You're tired of getting hit? The offensive line is stunk? Well, how about this? Why take every single last dollar? It is a salary cap world in the NFL. He wanted to get paid. They paid you. Well, Russ, here's the deal. You can't pay everybody.
I love how you started this segment by saying Mark Melusis is filling in for Nick Costos, that you didn't even need to say that, because that opinion alone, people would be listening going, well, that is a far cry from what Nick was on here saying at the end of the last segment we did on yesterday's show, on Thursday's show, where we ended just doing a little bit on this topic. And Nick had a complete opposite approach. And I'm kind of in between here. I kind of agree with parts of what you both said. You know, Nick's approach was basically, Nick is incredibly anti-Pete Carroll, basically thinks Pete Carroll is a moron. And I'm sort of in between here, because I understand two different things that are going on here. One, every year that Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll have been together, they've won at least 9 games. All but one of those years, they've won double-digit games. So he must be doing something right as a head coach. So that's number one. But at the same time, I do also understand this idea of, and we joked about it on the show all this year with the Seahawks, the, you know, Russ started throwing a couple of interceptions. They kind of tweaked the offense a little bit, and they call it like championship football, like running and not turning the ball over as much and everything. But you also, to be honest, like aren't taking advantage of your best asset by doing that. So I understand. I'm a little surprised to kind of hear that opinion from you, to be honest, because it's like a very team friendly opinion as opposed to a player friendly opinion, where you're basically like, you're on Seattle's team here. Like you're on Seattle's side. You're not on Russell Wilson's side, if I'm hearing you correctly.
Well, no, that's true. Well, by the way, let's remind Russell Wilson. They let Russ cook at the end of the Super Bowl against the New England Patriots, and Russ threw a terrible pick that cost them the game.
Yeah.
They tried to let him cook there. And mind you, remember the storyline coming out of that is that Pete Carroll wanted to get Russell Wilson the MVP of the game, right? So They decided to throw it. And I've heard people tell me, well, you know what? And experts and analysts in the National Football League, former players, Boomer aside, a lot of people say, well, listen, it's not as bad of a play call. The result is horrific, but it's not a terrible
time remaining. Right.
Correct. It's not a god awful play call. He threw a terrible pick. I mean, he did. He threw a terrible interception that cost him the game, where the Patriots were able to win that Super Bowl when they should have just handed the ball off to Marshawn Lynch and they should have won their second consecutive Super Bowl. Listen, I love Russell Wilson. I do. The complaining, though, gets to a point here where how could you not, for everything that you just mentioned, Ken, how could you not be happy in Seattle if you're Russell Wilson? All the winning you've done, I'll tell you bad situations. The Seattle Seahawks are not a bad situation.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast. You hear that? Your dog knows. Spring is coming sooner than you think. Dog walks, dog parks, playing fetch, all the stuff your dog loves to do with you. But the warmer weather also means that fleas and ticks are coming back. Fleas and ticks are in the grass, in the woods, and even on their dog friends. Fleas are an itchy nuisance, can easily get into your home, furniture, and beds, which can be terrible. Ticks are even worse. They're hard to spot, but can carry disease and get your dog really sick. PetMeds has your furry friend protected with the best products to prevent flea and ticks all year long. PetMeds pharmacists connect directly with your vet to save you time and deliver the best products for your pet. PetMeds offers low prices on all flea and tick meds, including NexGard, Simparica, and more. And PetMeds AutoShip helps you save even more with additional discounts on regular shipments of PetMeds, dog food, and other high-quality supplies. So get ready for all the spring fun now. Visit PetMeds.com and use promo code PODCAST to save 40% on your first auto ship order. That's PetMeds.com and promo code PODCAST.
Right, the Houston Texans, who we may end up talking about later in this segment. Now, that's
the Jets are a terrible situation. Right. I mean, the Giants here in New York, where I do radio shows on WFAN. I mean, the Giants won 6 games this year and people were celebrating.
Right. it's funny you mentioned Pete Carroll in the Super Bowl against the Patriots. We don't have to dwell on that moment for too long, but for people who have not seen it, obviously NFL Films put together the yearbooks for teams, but they also put together the kind of the Super Bowl, you know, game in review using all of the on-field sound and the on-field audio. There's a very, for people who have not seen that specific Super Bowl through that NFL Films prism, would highly recommend it. I think the video is on YouTube. It's about 30-45 minutes long. There's first of all, it's amazing sound in it, but there's one bite in particular where Wilson is on the bench and Daryl Bevel, the offensive coordinator at the time, is sitting next to him. And Wilson goes, And this is in the fourth quarter, looks at Bevel and goes, when we get down there, when we get down in the red zone, don't forget about me. Like, looks at Bevel. And it's like, when we get down there, don't forget about. And Bevel's kind of like doing 20 things. But he's like, okay, like, all right, I got it. And it was just, it was so funny. And, you know, you worry when you watch those documentary kind of style things that they're taking these things out of context. Like, oh, that was actually in the first quarter and that's not what happened and all this stuff. But there was a very clear implication made by pairing these things together that there was, like, you know, pressure to have him, you know, basically to have him be aggressive at the goal line. And then obviously, as you mentioned, results in interception. They lose super. First of all, they hand it to Marshawn Lynch on first down. Dont'a Hightower separates his shoulder, making the tackle to tackle him at the 1 yard line. People, that is a totally forgotten play in history. Lynch is unstoppable in the goal line, and Hightower makes a tackle in a one-on-one situation from the four. Where I'm at that game, by the way. I'm in the opposite end zone in like the 15th row. And
good for you.
With my Brady jersey on, and my wife has a Gronkowski jersey on, even though she's a Giants fan, bless her heart, she wanted to support me. And we're watching it, and I thought he had scored because you just, the angles and everything. Like, I mean, and we're looking pretty dead on, but you can't tell, obviously, opposite end zone, and we're in one end zone. You can't tell depth. So Lynch gets the carry, and I'm like, I only see Hightower, and I'm like, oh God. And you're actually not that unhappy because I had wanted the Patriots to let them score in that situation if they were going to beat the 1 yard line. Belichick wasn't using his timeouts. It was just a bizarre set. Everything about that game and how it ended is bizarre. Everything about it. The curse catch makes no sense. You give the ball to Lynch on first down, and he should have scored, and a linebacker breaks his arm, basically trying to prevent him from scoring. Then Belichick doesn't call the timeout on the back end of it, and it's like then Seattle chooses to pass the ball. Like, the domino effect that leads to that game could have ended so undramatically. Well, it still would have been dramatic because of the score, and the curse catch would have gained a new life as a legendary play, but if Lynch just scores, it's like, I mean, on first down, if he just scores, the narratives of 100 things are different. And that's the most, I mean, the curse play is very forgotten as well, because it's insane. And it occurred, you know, in the same building where the Tyree helmet catch occurred to Tom Brady. And the pairing of those two things in the same building is, I mean, the odds of that are 1 in a billion that he would have two plays like that against him in Super Bowl. So people forget the curse play, but people really forget the Hightower tackle on first down. So I'm with you on they put the ball in Wilson's hands, and he talked to Bevel in the yearbook thing and everything. At the same time, you know, let's spin this forward a little bit, and it can, part of this can be a gambling discussion too. What do you think happens? Because whether this is sort of like, in a way, it's almost like Bitcoin and NBA Top Shot, which we've been talking about on a low show. Like, even if you think this stuff is stupid, and even if you think the Russell Wilson drama is stupid, people involved in it don't think it's stupid, which means something could actually happen, even if you don't think something will happen. So what do you think is going to happen?
But I don't think he's getting traded, you know, because, I mean, I don't think there's a chance he gets traded. No, okay. I mean, he came out and I mean, how quickly, you know, yesterday did his, you know, inner circle put out the very fact of, we're not asking to be traded. We're willing to play in Seattle.
I understand, but if we were,
these would be the teams I'd be willing to go to. But I got to be honest with you. Just to answer your question in long form, I think he's in Seattle. I think week one of the NFL season in 2021, I think Russell Wilson is a Seattle Seahawk. I don't think he gets moved anywhere. I don't understand why he's throwing this kind of temper tantrum. I mean, if you read the Athletic piece, he started to get perturbed because the Seattle Seahawks went to the Josh Allen Pro Day in 2018. Sure. I mean, you got to be kidding me if you're Russell Wilson. You really do. I mean, they've done everything. They've paid you. They've done everything they can. I understand the offensive line, and maybe they were a little bit too arrogant about the elusiveness of Russell Wilson. Therefore, they didn't invest in that offensive line. But they've tried to add better weapons around him. And listen, Wilson's been great. But if I'm a team out there, whether it be Chicago, whether it be New Orleans, you know, whether it be Miami, so I'm acquiring a guy like Russell Wilson, who's leaving a winning situation or conceivably trying to get his way out of, and I don't think it'll happen, but for argument's sake, say he leaves. Now I'm going to pay a king's ransom to go get Russell Wilson because Wilson's worried about his legacy, his resume, the fact that he doesn't have MVP consideration, and that he wants to be a more focal point of an offense moving forward because of some of the messaging coming out of the Seahawks franchise. To me, that's not healthy. Like, if you compare the two, and, you know, if you compare Deshaun Watson and Russell Wilson and the complaints. I mean, Deshaun Watson is now the quarterback of one of the biggest moronic franchises in the National Football League in the Houston Texans. I mean, he really is. So you have that scenario, and he is kept quiet. And he even had the interview or the meeting last week with David Culley last Friday, a week ago this time, and basically said, I am never playing for the Houston Texans ever again. That is not how I'm never going to suit up. I respect you, but I'm never playing for this franchise. Now, Deshaun Watson's got a right to complain. Russell Wilson, to be honest with you, with what's going on in Seattle, I just don't see – I see more of a spoiled brat with Russell Wilson than anything else. I mean, he's bothered by the fact that they don't look at him having the football in his hands of being winning football. Well, I mean, did he not throw multiple interceptions against the Bills? Did he not throw multiple interceptions against the Rams? Isn't when that – during the regular season when they decided to rein the offense in? There is a reason. It's not like – Pete Carroll and Brian Schottenheimer woke up one day and said, you know what? We're going to stop throwing the football. They stopped throwing it or leaning heavily on Wilson because Wilson started turning the football over left and right.
Right. I mean, I don't disagree with anything you said. Look, I mean, I think that's clearly how the narrative has come about. I don't think it's incorrect, but let me ask you a gambling question now as a follow-up. So, you know, we do these win total exercises on the show. Seattle, as I mentioned, with Pete Carroll. You know, every year that Pete Carroll's first 2 years in Seattle, remember that was Tavares Jackson, that was all these kind of other quarterbacks. They won 7 games, I think, each of his first 2 years. He and Wilson get paired up. Every year since then, they've won at least 9 games. Every year but one, they've won at least 10 games. If I said their win total, like Wilson comes back, but they're clearly unhappy. He and Carroll somehow make it through this season. If I tell you the win total's 9, well, what would you do in that situation?
Yeah, I probably wouldn't bet it at 9.
You think that's a good bet? I'm inclined to bet the over again. And I was under on Seattle a couple of years ago, big time, at my peril, I guess would be the right way to put it. I don't know, man. Like, at a certain point, I tend to kind of toss out my projections sometimes. And I'm like, all right, Carroll's still there. Wilson's still there. It's literally 10 every year that he's the quarterback. And the win total's 9, which I think it's going to be. I think it's going to be, with the division so impossible, I think 9's the right number. It might even be 9 juiced under. You would no bet 9. That would be your decision.
I would be no bet 9, and I understand about the consistency of Russell Wilson and might go against everything we were talking about for the last 8 or 9 minutes. The reason why I would, I think San Francisco won't be as banged up. I think they'll be better. We'll see what their quarterback situation. Rams will obviously be better with Stafford at quarterback as compared to Jared Goff, and you got to love the Rams defense. You know, the big one is going to be the Arizona Cardinals, and you want to talk about a bad coach. Well, look at Cliff Kingsbury. I mean, he's no genius. He might be an offensive genius, but as a head coach in the NFL, he's not a genius.
Sure, totally understand. Yeah, when Nick and I did these projections, that was one of the first divisions we did. The reason we did it, for people thinking about win totals, okay, like every team in a division probably can't be over 8. So like, who's your 8? Who's your 7.5? Probably San Francisco, probably Arizona, but in what order? And who's where? And who's 3rd? And who's 4th? And all of them have a good chance to make the playoffs.
We'll tickle some fancies. It's You Better You Bet right here on the BetQL Audio Network.